Would you open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5? We've talked the last couple weeks, and I'm aware of what time it is, so just so you know, I'm hungrier than you are. Just so you know. We joke, but it's true. If you got a skinny preacher, you got to be worried because he's not worried about lunch. I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about it, so. James 5, 13, is anyone among you in trouble? You should pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Heavenly Father, we give ourselves to you today, and we pray right now as righteous and accepted people standing in your presence. We ask for your word to be real and alive to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's sad to say that this week, yet again in our country, there was a tragedy in a local school. Many of you are educators, and many more of you are students, and so you've lived with this sort of pressure and this weight. And I was really intrigued that our friends at the New York Times, not exactly a magazine or paper of Christian think, led with the headline about how much prayer mattered in these moments immediately following and during this tragedy. The article says, on Friday, inside the high school, the students turned to prayers for protection. As gunfire roared through the hallway, several students hid in a classroom forming a prayer circle. We could hear everything, gunshots, screams, bullets ricocheting, said Grace Johnson, 18, the school band chaplain. I asked if anyone wanted to pray, that even if they didn't believe in God, that maybe being comforted by friends would help. And so we prayed for the safety of our class that got separated, our peers, and most importantly, we prayed that something would change in the heart of the shooter. If Rindy Hitchcock's daughter had not texted at 7:30 a.m. to alert her that something was wrong at school, she would have known moments later from the prayer request that began buzzing around her phone and continued through the day. Ms. Hitchcock, scrambling to account for her three children at the school, was grateful for the prayers offered for her and the opportunity to pray for others. For my family, prayer is a great source of strength and comfort, she said. A peace washes over you when you know you don't have the strength and someone can intercede for you. Prayer was right in the middle of it. And I was struck by that because I went to, and God only knows why I do this, God only knows why anybody does this, went to Twitter, after this happened, and what was immediately happening after this was unfolding on Twitter was people going, "Oh, your prayers are just terrible. Just stop praying." And it's this new thing that we're seeing in our culture called prayer shaming. Are you familiar with prayer shaming? There was an actor a few months ago after a tragedy happened. Last name was Wheaton. I can't remember his first name. Just blasted out that if you're praying, your prayers didn't help. If your prayers helped, these people wouldn't be dead. They were in a church. The shaming of prayer. Now, what's interesting is that his shaming of prayer, the very thing that they needed in the middle of this was actually prayer. The people that weren't tweeting about this were in this accident. And my point of bringing this up to you is that in our culture right now, the very thing we need to be doing the most is the thing that our culture is pushing back against the most fiercely. Now, follow me on this. I was intrigued by the word Santa Fe, the high school, rung a bell with me, and I was trying to think, what do I remember before? How many of you remember year 2000, when there was a Supreme Court case that was filed against a school in Texas who was allowing students to pray over the loudspeaker? Does anybody remember this? It went all the way to the Supreme Court. And in the Supreme Court, they ruled that that the prayers must remain private. They ruled against the school that you are not allowed to, as a student, pray before the school football games happened. And what sounded familiar to me was because the school was Santa Fe High School in Texas. In fact, it was I remember several of these articles going around that in a school where prayer was not going to be allowed, that they don't have a prayer. And now I want to be very crystal clear on something. I am not suggesting that because prayer was not allowed in the school that that's why the shooting happened, okay? So if anybody thinks that, you can take that up with Jesus. I don't think that. I'm not saying that at all, okay? What I am saying is that our culture legally has been trying to silence the prayers of the saints for decades. And now it's not only in the legal system, but in the cultural system as well that they're pushing back against prayers of saints. Anybody in trouble? Pray. If you're sick, pray. Pray, pray. It's the scripture is replete with this language that we should do this, that we get to do this. One of the things that Jesus died to give us was access to the Father so we could pray. And yet our culture has been fighting against it. And I was thinking about that in terms of us in general, because here we are Jesus people. And my question that I was sort of like thinking through, like, what do I have to say? I'm sure Dr. Bassanio has written plenty of books on prayer. Get those. In fact, I made a comment like that in first service, and Dr. Easley said, yeah, I've got one if you want to. there's plenty of stuff out there on the techniques of prayer. And we could spend a lot of time on what it means to anoint with oil with prayer. Edie and I were having a text conversation about what James was saying with that, about what it means to live in an environment where we are safe to say, you know what, I'm struggling with this sin, I need prayer for it. In our culture, a lot of times when you confess your sin, you get pushed away, not prayed in, right? That's what the Bible says. We could talk about all those things. But what I was really struck by was, as a community of faith, we have fought for the right to pray in public while allowing the enemy to steal the desire to pray away from us in private. Put that differently. You can look at your schedule and it tells the truth about you and what you prioritize. If statistics are to be believed, the Pew Research Forum just 4 years ago released that less than 50% of Christians pray every day. Which, by the way, that was actually higher than I thought it was going to be. But after the 50%, it goes down to in the 20s and even into the teens when it talks about meaningful prayer on a daily disciplined basis, that we have fought for the right to do something that Jesus, by the way, didn't just go to the Supreme Court. He went to the gates of hell to give us access to the Father to pray. And so not as a moment of shame for you, but maybe as a moment of like, okay, so why isn't it that that's the first thing on my mind to do? Like, what is it? And I was really praying about that, thinking, okay, what is it with me? Why is it that sometimes leap first, pray second is my MO? And as I thought about it and really just, man, Darren, just be real honest with yourself. There were two things that I came to that I thought. One is that I've been praying for this my whole life and I just kind of stopped. Because nothing really happened. Or, you know, when I'm studying the Bible, when I'm listening to podcasts, I get an immediate, I can feel it, I see it. But in prayer, I don't really see what's happening all the time. So sometimes the response doesn't happen. There are times when you get an immediate thing and there are more times when it doesn't. So the lack of response, immediate lack of visual, what it is, that sort of keeps me away from it. And the second thing is sometimes I just don't even know what to say. What if I ask this wrong? Or what if I'm not eloquent? You know, you bring in these guys from Africa, like, you know, from Togo, Pastor William, and dude just prays down fire. Right? So for me, why even try? Just let the professionals handle it, right? Remember just 2 weeks ago, the dude from India comes in, Peter Shindy, and just prays Jesus all over this place. So those are the two things, and I was praying through that, and what do I even say? So the question is, what would I say to me? And I'm going to say it to you now. Revelation chapter 8, pray if you are sick, pray if you're in sin, pray if you are in trouble, pray. Pretty much covers everything in a fallen world, those three categories, doesn't it? And Revelation 8, if you would turn there, it's really easy to find if you're new to the faith. Just go to the back and turn left, and you'll get right to Revelation 8. But there is a picture here that is so poignant of what prayer really does. And it answers both of my reservations and why I don't immediately leap into it. And I hope it will for you too. Revelation 8, verse 1, it says that there was a hush that came over heaven for about 30 minutes. I read one commentator this week that said that it's almost like what God is showing us there is that, hey, when you pray, shh, Phyllis is speaking. I want to hear what she has to say. The hush fell over heaven. After Revelation 7, there's all these saints that are praying, all these saints that have been gathered around his throne that had gone through difficulty and tribulation. And so this is the view of what's happening in heaven. When prayer was happening on earth, this is what was literally happening in heaven. And I saw, verse 2, the seven angels who stand before God and the seven trumpets were given to them. In verse 3, and another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. And verse 4, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it onto the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now, in heaven, what's on the earth, the tabernacle, is just a picture of what's in heaven. And in heaven, there is this golden censer. What is a golden censer? It's just a bowl where you put incense in. And there's this golden censer that's in front of God's throne that says here that it's filled with incense and the prayers of the saints. Not some of the saints, not just the super saints, not just the rich and famous saints, all the saints. And as this is being filled, and by the way, David in Psalm 142 verse 5 says that the prayers, my prayers are like incense. Incense in the scripture is a picture of prayer. So think with me, this bowl is in front of the throne where these prayers are being put. Now these prayers for this one specifically were of the saints who had been persecuted and tortured and murdered and martyred. Their prayers were heard. And they probably had some of the same prayers that the families in Santa Fe, Texas have this week. Why, God? How long, God? What? Why? Who? Why was it my mom and not someone else? Why? The prayers of the saints. And what this tells me is that those prayers don't just sort of float ethereal out into the atmosphere. They're not just words. They are actually captured in a bowl in front of the throne room of grace, that he heard them, that he knows them. There's a picture in the scripture of, I think it's the psalmist again, that talks about your tears being held in a bottle that the Father holds. He sees your tears and he will one day do something about them. The justice of God and the love of God are not mutually exclusive ideas. The prayers that they were praying of justice, God, would you do something? Because as soon as that bowl of incense was full, the bowl of the prayers was full, the angel brought the answer back to earth. So your prayers, your persistent, your effective, your fervent prayers are being sent to the bowl in front of the Father. And when the bowl is full, when the prayer is heard, he will bring the answer at the perfect time. So what I can know from that is that when I'm praying, whether it's for these children and their families in Texas, whether it's for my own family, whether it's for your families, whatever I'm praying, that it's not just words, it is literally being heard by God and held for the right time. That every prayer is brought to this bowl. Every prayer is brought to the plate in front of God. He hears it, he sees it, and he will respond to it. You don't see it now, but it's happening in the spirit. I think that's why God was showing this picture to John. Think about who John was writing to. Seven churches who were persecuted, had those same questions. John wasn't just a prophet, he was a pastor. John himself exiled and sent away, who needed to know that his own prayers were being answered. And it says in Revelation 1, he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He was praying, and this was the vision that God showed him that we can still do today. Your prayers are being heard, number one. And number two, he talks about the incense that is brought with them. This is such an amazing picture, because what does incense really do when it's burned? It makes it smell better, right? I mean, the good incense. When you're diffusing the oils, Edie, you know, it makes it smell better in there. The high priest, the great high priest, our great high priest, Romans 8 tells us, Jesus, What the priest would do when he brought the prayers of the people into the throne of God is he would burn incense in this golden censer before the throne room of God. And what does the prayer with incense in it? It smells a whole lot better. And here's why that gives me so much hope and faith. Because what he's saying is that Jesus is sweetening up my stinky prayers. I don't pray very good sometimes. I pray dumb things sometimes. I don't know how to pray sometimes. But you know who didn't know how to pray very well? Was John. You don't think John didn't pray some dumb stuff? Go backwards with me in time. And an earlier and a younger John who was nicknamed with his brother James, the Sons of Thunder. A nickname given by Jesus, by the way, because you guys are just lightning and fire. I love it because John's name later in life would be called the Apostle of Love. The transformation of the Holy Spirit. Love never fails. They tried to kill John. It didn't work. They ended up putting him on an island. It didn't work. Love never fails. But here is James and John. We were thinking of him now in Revelation, but back in the old days when he was younger, in Luke 9:54, he prayed to Jesus. This Samaritan village didn't receive them. So he says, hey, let's just burn them all. Let's just torch the whole place, Jesus. Shall we call down fire? And Jesus is like, whoa, simmer down. That's not, no. But it didn't just end there, because at one point his mother, Salome, what a beautiful name, right? Salome. Salome goes, all right, it's her real name, goes to Jesus in Matthew 20, verse 20. And Salome says, this is the world's first helicopter mom right here. Hovering in saying, hey, Jesus, look at my two kids. When you come into your kingdom, could you put them on your right and your left hand side? That's her prayer that day. And Jesus said, can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from? And this is how we know it wasn't just Salome's idea, because they answered, oh, yes, we can, Jesus, we can. We totally can. On the day you come into your kingdom, can I be on your right and your left hand side? Now, fast forward, Jesus on a cross. And he says to a thief on his left side, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today is the day I'm coming into my kingdom. Can you imagine the look on Salome's face when she realized, had her prayer have been answered, that her sons would have been on the right and the left-hand side of Jesus the day he was crucified, being crucified themselves. See, John had prayed some dumb stuff. And what he had learned through his prayer life was that sometimes God is not going to answer the way that I want him to because he knows things that I don't know. When we pray, what we can know is that God will give us what we would have asked for if we knew everything that he knew. And the idea of an incense being burned by our great high priest is the simplicity of saying, God, look, I appreciate what Darren's saying, but that's not what he really wants. What he really wants is this, and that's what the high priest who intercedes on our behalf does for us on a daily basis. And if I understand that my prayers don't just float off into the atmosphere, that they're actually held into a bowl, if I could understand that my prayers are actually being sweetened up by the great high priest, if the prayer of a righteous man avails much, how much would the prayer of a perfect man avail? Jesus, our perfect high priest, perfectly asking for what we want, which is why when he said to Peter, I pray for you, Peter, Satan decides, he wants to sift your soul as wheat, but I have prayed for you, the perfect high priest, that when you are restored, you will lead the people. And his prayer was answered because his prayer is perfect when you don't know how to pray. So we can press in and we can be fervent in our prayers, knowing that they are going to be held before the Father, that he knows them, that he will respond in the way that is perfect and just, and that even if I ask wrong, that he is going to intercede on my behalf and pray for me. Doesn't that give you a great deal of peace to just open your mouth and pray persistently and fervently and to keep praying and to pray tomorrow and to pray the next day? Not that you're begging from God, we talked about last week, but that you're being with God. Two different ideas. And some of you might have been around long enough to think, yeah, but Darren, I have wasted a lot of time not praying. That I have had my mouth shut for most of my life and I didn't pray and I wasn't persistent and I wasn't, boy, have I got good news for you. The book of Luke chapter 1, we don't have time to turn there, but maybe later. There was a priest named Zacharias. Verse 1, it says he came into the temple and he was offering incense with his prayers. Does that sound familiar? That's what the priest did. He was offering incense with his prayers. And just a few verses later, it says that an angel appeared to him and says, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. Now, Zacharias' prayer that he was talking about was to have children. His wife was barren. How long do you suppose it had been since Zechariah had prayed that prayer? A year? Two? 10? Not your prayer was heard, your prayer is heard. The prayers that you prayed even as a child are still in play in the kingdom of God. There is no time in our Heavenly Father's economy. The prayers that you prayed once and stopped praying, the prayers that you held on to and you gave up on because it doesn't seem like it's working, the prayer that I stopped praying, he's still there, it's still active, it's still, your prayer is heard. Mamas, that's a promise for you today, for your children. Grandmas, aunts, uncles, you ones that are praying for your spouses and maybe you've stopped, why don't you start again? God wants to be with you, not to beg from him. He wants to be with you. And even if you stopped, you know that, man, he is so good, that he is so awesome, that even Zacharias, at an old age, when the prayer was finally answered, and by the way, the way that the prayer was answered for Zacharias, remember what Paul says, above what you could ask or think? He didn't just give Zacharias a son, he gave him John the Baptist. More than you could think or ask. How much, man, how much more would your Heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? I love it. I think it's in the Mark version. He actually says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Because that's the prize. The Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you. Everything else is just gravy. It was a few years ago, we were sitting over at a high school and I had no idea what we were going to do because we were running out of runway and we had no money and we had nowhere to go as a church. Within just a few months, we were going to be out of it. And I thought of everything. I thought we'll rent a retail space and that was going to be like way more money than we had. And then I thought, well, we'll just meet at a different school. We'll go down to Murray County and do it there. I even thought, let's just change the name of the church, start over and reapply at Williamson County Schools so we can get back in again. I want you to know, I thought of everything. Except one thing, which is the thing God was thinking the whole time, which is, hey, I'm just going to give you guys a building. You know how many times I asked for God to give us a building? None times. The first phone call I had to make was to my friend Sam Childers. You know Sam, the machine gun preacher? They made a movie about him a while back. Sam was with us in the very first year we were at church. And we sent them out with a huge gift. It's just how we roll around here. And Sam, on the way to the airport, I mean, this dude is a redneck, Jesus-loving soldier of fortune, right? Rescuing children. And he says, I can't even believe a church this size has given us this much. And he says, I'm prophesying to you right now, God is going to give you a building. We're going right by a Harding exit. I remembered it. And I thought, well, that's cute. Turns out Sam was right. More than what you could think or ask, that's what the Bible tells us that God will do. That's what your high priest is doing. So go ahead and pray. Even if you're praying things that aren't exactly right, know that your high priest is going to say, hey, Darren, I know that Darren says he wants to change the name and start over again. Darren even said he'd just shut this thing down and go home. Isn't that funny, God? Those prayers that you've asked that are floating out there, even if they aren't complete, just know that your Heavenly Father knows. He's holding them into this bowl, and there's a Jesus, a high priest, who's sweetening up your stinky prayers. And then at the moment when it's right, that he's going to send the answer back down to heaven, from heaven to earth. That is something we can hold on to today with faith and with confidence in the midst of a world that seems like it's spiraling out of control. We have a advocate before our Father. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Jesus, We can stand in front of our Father God today because of the work that you did, the completed work of the cross. And I, for one, am extremely grateful. Lord, would you forgive us? We repent and we change our mind. We haven't prayed. We haven't done what James has told us. But we know now, and so we change our mind and we today begin a lifestyle of praying. The courage to ask. Lord, let those who are already there, let them be a beacon for us, a model for how it can be. To know that even this prayer right now with this church body and this church family is being held in a bowl in front of your throne is just a staggering thought. And to know that even my imperfect prayers of saying it wrong, or that you're up there right now in the spirit of the kingdom of God praying for me, interceding on our behalf, is a bolstering thing for us. You thought of it all. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, two or three gathered, here you are in the midst of us. I know that, Lord, I believe right now you are answering prayers. You are reminding us of prayers that we haven't prayed in years that are still in play in your kingdom. For those that have felt forgotten, that felt betrayed and dumped out onto the side of the road and praying, just trying to find our equilibrium. God, you have heard those prayers. You hold those tears in a bottle. You see them, and so we hold on to that today. And those of us in here that have been called into some ministry that we feel like is just long gone and long forgotten. Just like John, exiled away. And yet it was in that exile that you did one of your greatest works in John, what we call the book of Revelation. And in this world, in this room, I know right now that I feel in my spirit there are people that that is what you're saying, that you've got in the midst of this exile, you are right there in the midst of them, with them, doing a great work, even though we or they cannot see it. And so, Lord, we continue to fill our censer with the prayers and the incense, and the prayers and the incense. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.